Today we light the first, second, and third candles of the Advent wreath. Each candle has meaning. The first candle is hope, the second candle is peace, and the third candle is joy.
Let us pray. Gracious God, you came to us in human flesh, and you abide with us in the Holy Spirit. Fill us with your joy and help us shine as a light to the world through Jesus Christ, who makes our joy complete. Amen. Bless the Lord who forgives all our sins. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us. And because we are sorely hindered by our sins, let your bountiful grace and mercy speedily help and deliver us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
A lesson from the book of Isaiah. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fool, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Psalm 146 can be found in the insert of your bulletin. Psalm 146. Happy are they who have the God of Jacob for their help. Who made heaven and earth, the seas, and all that is in them.
Who
gives justice to those who are oppressed.
And food to those who hunger.
The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind.
The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down.
The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord cares for the stranger. The Lord shall reign forever.
Your God, O Zion, throughout all generations. Hallelujah.
A reading from the letter of James. Be patient, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the previous crop from the earth, being patient until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not crumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. The word of our Lord.
Thank you.
gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is coming, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight and lame walk. Lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed anyone who takes no offense at me." As he went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, even more than a prophet. This is the one of whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. The least in the kingdom, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So every Advent, we hear about John the Baptist 2 weeks in a row. And I want to back it up a little bit and have us really understand the importance of John the Baptist and why we hear about him. If you remember how he was conceived, his father, the high priest, was in the Holy of Holies. And he was told that his wife, in her very old age, was going to conceive a son who was going to be the person who prepared the way of the Lord. Dad didn't understand that, didn't agree with it, but he was struck dumb until the child was born and he named him John. John was raised as a Nazarite, and to be raised as a Nazarite meant that he made a lifelong pledge to not drink intoxicating beverages, not cut his hair, not be in a house with a dead person, and to follow the laws to a T. And so he did that, and he knew that his call was to go to the River Jordan and to tell the people to prepare the way of the Lord, to renounce their lifestyles and get back in line with what God wanted. Because more so than what we experience today, the Jewish culture in those days was about community. If one person was sinning, if one person was unclean, it impacted the whole group. But the Jewish people of that day were trying to figure out what happened to their country, their holy land, their promised land. They were now under Roman occupation. And yes, Rome was keeping peace, but at the tip of a sword, and they were having to pay taxes that were crippling them. And John was saying, if we all rededicated ourselves to God, if we all lived in the way we're called to live, things would turn around, the kingdom of heaven would come, the Messiah would come. And so he was baptizing, and his followers were saying, "Well, is it you?" And he said, "No, it's not me. One greater than me will come." And Jesus did come. And John said, "I can't baptize you. I recognize who you are." And Jesus said, "You have to." And what we remember is as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens parted, the dove descended, and we heard the voice, "You are my son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And John witnessed that. For his 30 years of life, he had been keeping the faith. He had been observing all the laws and commandments. He had been born for this. And he said at that time, "I must decrease, and he will increase." That doesn't mean John walked away. He continued to speak truth to power. He continued to follow all the laws. He continued to say, "We need to amend our ways." And today's gospel is when he is in prison. because that's what happened. He ended up in prison. And we think of prisons in our minds like you see on TV. Not so in those days. It was usually a cistern dug out of the ground, so you were in a dirt hole, shackled to the wall. You didn't get fed unless family or friends brought you food. And if you were a political prisoner like he was, you'd be risking your life to take him food and water and messages. And he was sitting there saying, "What in the world has happened?" He believed that Jesus, the Messiah, the King of Kings, was coming to take power, to turn things around. And here he was in prison. And so when somebody came to visit, he said, "Please go and ask Jesus, are you the one? Or is there someone else? Did I make a mistake? Has my whole life been a mistake?" We know what it feels like to be in that position, to plan and do all the right things and then have things turn upside down and we say, "What in the world just happened? How could this happen? Why is this happening? And what can we do to get out of this situation?" We too question and doubt. And if John the Baptist can say, "Are you the one or is there another? Have I made this horrible mistake?" We too can say, "Jesus, are you the one? Are you the one that we've been waiting for, longing for, hoping for, planning for, preparing for?" Jesus answers the messenger with the words from Isaiah, which we heard earlier today. "The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and this is good news to the poor." He then talks about John, who is a prophet, the greatest prophet, and of all who are born of woman, he is the greatest, but now he is the least. But what John would have heard and what Jesus didn't say is the next line from Isaiah, the answer he was looking for. Isaiah says, "Say to those who are fearful of heart, be strong. Do not fear. Here is your God." John had his answer. Here is your God. But John's life had changed. He was in prison. He went from being the one preparing the way and leading others to the least of those. We know that he went from being the prophet and the leader to being the disciple, the student, the follower, the one who had to trust with all his heart that Jesus is Lord. He needed to keep his belief, and what we know is because of that belief, because of that commitment, he was beheaded for his faith. We're in the season of Advent, and when we look around, I always feel torn. There's 9 days or 8.5 or 10 days and 2 minutes until Christmas. We look around and, gosh, since Halloween, I think, the stores have been full of lights and loud music and buy this, buy this, buy this, buy this. And in this last month, we've had parties and concerts and events in the park, and the list goes on and on and on. And I don't know about you, but I think, did I buy enough for the grandkids? Or do I do the bah humbug, they're getting enough gifts? How much is enough? We go through all this doubt and question, and what we're really called to be doing at this season is to be preparing the way of the Lord, preparing our hearts, preparing our homes, trusting, believing. And yes, we have fears and doubts, and we wonder, is somebody going to take care of us in our old age? Or the younger generation is saying, am I going to be able to buy a house and buy a car and care for my children? Or the very youngest generation is saying, what is this world coming to, and what's going to be there for me? But amid that, how do we hold the faith? Yesterday, we celebrated the Saint John of the Cross, and he was a 15th century monk and mystic, and he wrote a poem called The Dark Night of the Soul. He spent years trusting, believing but not experiencing God's presence in his life like he had. For years, he said, "What do I have to do, Lord? What do I have to do to feel and know your presence and your love in my heart?" And so he wrote not only the poem, The Dark Night of the Soul, but then he wrote a book explaining each line of it, saying, this is what we do. We spend time in prayer. We devote ourselves to good works. We do this so that we come to know Jesus in our lives. I think about my friend Joe, good friend of mine. He had 8 kids, 4 older ones, and then there was a gap and 4 younger ones. They were teenagers. He was 60. And he said, you know, I just got to get that last one out of high school and then I can retire and, you know, life will be good. And that year when he turned 60, he was ordained a Roman Catholic deacon because he had kept the faith all those years. He had done what he felt he was called to do. But in his 60th year, he had a stroke. And while they were doing the surgery to clean out he had a heart attack. And when they were treating the heart attack, they found the cause of all this was that he had lung cancer. And he said, what's going on, Lord? I don't understand. He said, you know I have to get my kids out of high school. You know I have to be there. And he trusted. And after 4 strokes and numerous heart attacks, he did live until the day after his youngest graduated from high school. He kept the faith, regardless of all the adversity. And I think of the Christians in the Holy Land right now, the Christians in Gaza, Arab Palestinian Christians who have kept the faith since the day of Pentecost, who are not allowed to travel to go to Bethlehem this Christmas, not allowed to go to their family for Christmas dinner, or those Arab Palestinian Christians in Bethlehem who live behind a separation wall with automatic weapons pointed at them 24/7 and unable to get travel passes this time of year. They keep the faith. They believe in Christ. They continue to live their lives full of faith. And I think of us living in a very comfortable situation, but also at times imprisoned by our fears and our doubts and our questions and the darkness around us. And I want to ask, how do you prepare the way of the Lord? How do you with joy say, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, come into our hearts and fill us with your word, come into our hearts and fill us with your Holy Spirit. Help us to build the kingdom of God. Amen. Please stand as you are able and join us in saying the Nicene Creed on page 358 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Page 358. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen.
We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son. Spirit, he became incarnate.
Prayers of the People can be found on page 387, Form 3, page 387 of the Red Book of Common Prayer. Father, we pray for your Holy Catholic Church.
That we all may be one.
Grant that every member of the Church may truly and humbly serve you.
That your name may be glorified by all people.
We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons. We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world. Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake. Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble. Give to the departed eternal rest. We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy. Let us pray for our own needs and those of others.
Hasten, O Father, the coming of your kingdom, and grant that we, your servants, who now live by faith, may with joy behold your Son at his coming in glorious majesty, even Jesus Christ, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you
in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of our Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will, walk in your ways for the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. And before I offer the peace, I just want to offer a word of compassion and wisdom. It is cold and flu season. There are a lot of people in this world who decide to wear masks because they're sick or masks because they don't want to get sick. There's also hand hygiene. Some of us Purelled before we came and others didn't. So please be respectful when people don't want to shake hands or don't want to hug. But you got to give us a cue. If you do this, we know to fist bump, but I might not want to do it back. So you just say peace. God's peace be with you. So the peace of the Lord be always with you. Good morning. Welcome to St. James. Oh, look, half of them are in the back. So there's a lot going on today and this season, like I said. Today, after the service, we're going to have the sanctuary cleanup, so if you can stay and help with that, great. We also, if you look on the back, we have a project that we're doing, and Karen and I would really like your help. So even if you can't stay for coffee hour, even if you can't stay to clean up, please come downstairs and just take a look at what we're doing. We're asking you to just write some things on a piece of paper, and they even give you examples, so it's not that hard. But it'll be up for a couple of weeks, so if you can't do it today, maybe next week or the week after, but please come down and give it a try. We'd really appreciate that. So there is soup, bread, cookies. You can have that for coffee hour. You can have that as you clean. You can have it after you clean, but enjoy. Lots of other announcements in here. Are there any announcements from the floor? Whoa, hands went up. So nice and loud, Joni. So there's jewelry, there's a mirror so you can try it on, there's craft items, and all of the money goes to mission. Mary, whoop, she's hiding behind Jerry now. So Mary said there are two families that manifested with four children each after the giveaway. Somehow they didn't get on anybody's list until just now. She's happy to shop, or she's happy to give you a name and an item, or if you can contribute financially. But first we need to say thank you for everything you've done for the food pantry, Operation Shoebox, and the many other ways that we have been giving. So discern if this is a call to you. And if not, it'll come out of my discretionary fund, no worries. Other announcements? Karen. Thank you. So athlete's dinner, we're missing garlic bread, and we're still missing some servers? We could use one or two more servers. And the women's breakfast is this week. We're not going somewhere. We're coming here with a dish to pass. If you want to come and bring a neighbor or a friend, please sign up. The sign-up sheet's on the table, the food table downstairs. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. Eucharistic Prayer A continues on page 361 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Page 361. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, because you sent your beloved Son to redeem us from sin and death and to make us heirs in him of everlasting life. That when he shall come again in power and great triumph to judge the world, we may without shame or fear rejoice to behold his appearing. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the blood and body of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen."
Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. These are the gifts of God for the people of God.
Step down into darkness, open my eyes.
Post-communion prayer can be found on page 365 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living
members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
May Almighty God, by whose providence our Savior Christ came among us in great humility, sanctify you with the light of his blessing and set you free from all sin. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.